And welcome to Peach and Ranch in Maryville for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Tritton, and we got a lot to talk about again this week on the show as again that crossover time between the spring sports and the winter sports. And we've got one winter sport continuing to move on. That's men's basketball. As the Northwest men have qualified for the Central Regional Tournament. Not only have they qualified, but they're the number one seed. An opportunity to host this upcoming weekend with games Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday as part of that Central Region.
Yeah, this would be big for Northwest Missouri State as a whole. The first time since 2020 the Bearcats have had the chance to host the region tournament. Of course, 2020 was wiped out by COVID-19. It felt like that Bearcat team had a pretty good avenue to a national championship. So unfortunate there, but here we are, Northwest back at home once again. And so this will be exciting. Maryville does such a great job of getting pumped and welcoming in these teams, these fans, and being very hospitable top to bottom, really. I know one thing for us, when we go out of town, Sioux Falls, for instance, is one of those. We've been to the regional a couple of times, and the folks are so welcoming and so kind. Of course, once the game starts, that changed a little bit. But outside of the game, we always appreciate that. So I know as we have fans coming in, hopefully that's something we can continue here in Maryville to just be happy and be feel fortunate to be able to welcome in so many great basketball teams, fan bases, and folks to come in to spend their money in our town through this upcoming week. So should be really nice for Northwest Missouri State overall. And, of course, this basketball team, they're playing at a high level.
Oh, they might be playing as good at this particular time of the season that they played all season long, coming out three very good, well-played basketball games over the weekend in the MIAA tournament.
Yeah, they deal with defensively, and then they continue to be terrific. And you kind of look at the first halves, both against Emporia State, and then in the championship game there against Central Oklahoma. You know, it took a little bit to get things rolling, but once they did, you know, they went on some runs, able to open up a lead that they wouldn't get back on either of those basketball games. So been fun to watch this team as they go. They're hitting those shots at the right time. They're coming up with some big-time stops. And one thing that we've seen a little bit throughout the year, but a whole lot more in Kansas City, a lot of dunks. This team can fly, can't they?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen a team with as many dunks as they've had here in the last couple of weeks. Now we've seen through the past Diego from time to time coming up with one of those Sports Center type of dunks, but we're seeing some other players on this roster follow suit. Again, Bennett Sturtz has had a number of those that have been impressive. You look at Byron Alexander, he's had a couple as well. And not only are they impressed, but they're coming at times that are kind of game changers in the game and momentum changers that we've seen here in this past weekend.
Yeah, they got some guys that can get up there and go. And you're right, it's one of those of, you know, you think back to when they clinched the regular season title against UCO. It was in the final minute, Diego came up with a big dunk down the lane. And again, we haven't had a ton of those this year. But then all of a sudden, Kansas City, it was, you know, Bennett alley-oop to Diego. Then Diego putting one up for Bennett a little bit later on. Byron got up there for one. Bennett threw one down on a couple UCO defenders in that MIAA tournament championship game. So, you know, it does feel like this is a team that's really clicking and feeling good and rolling, and just, I think that's kind of a sign of things to whereas, you know, maybe last year whenever Trevor's on the team, it's a barrage of three-pointers. Now it's a barrage of dunks for Northwest Missouri State. They've kind of turned the tide for this team.
You know, another thing when you talk about Bennett Sturtz that I think is impressive, not only on the dunks that they've had with that, but sometimes he kind of lulls his defender to sleep out on the perimeter, and then boom, about a quick first step, and he's passed his guy for a nice layup going in there.
Yeah, he's pretty deceptively quick when you look at Bennett go. And, you know, think about that first game he played in Kansas City over the weekend against Missouri Western. He only scored 6 points, but he had 10 assists, did not turn the basketball over in that game either. So, you know, for a true freshman, he looks like a seasoned vet.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's been a welcome addition to this Bearcat basketball team. About this time last year, people were wondering, well, how's Northwest going to do when Trevor Hudgens moves on to the NBA? Well, we're doing pretty well. I mean, you don't replace a Trevor Hudgens with another Trevor Hudgens. You're replacing with a Bennett Sturtz who brings his own set of skill level to and a different type of a player. But, yeah, he's a guy that's moved in the starting lineup and performed well.
It's kind of the same old song and dance. How do you replace DeSean Cooper? Well, you get a Justin Pitts. How do you replace Justin Pitts? We've got a guy named Trevor Hudgens, and now it's been his starts kind of assuming that role. Now, part of that is, too, having guys around them that help kind of go into that role and transition in. You know, you think about Zach Schneider being an MIAA Freshman of the Year and kind of helping in the emergence as well as Justin Pitts. Trevor Hudgens stepping in there to that role, but there's a true freshman on that team named Diego Bernard and Joey Wittes with his second year on the program. Ryan Hawkins coming around. And now it's Bennett Sturtz, but Diego Bernard Bernard is the MIAA Player of the Year, and he's been a huge part of that. And it's you can't look past too. Wes Streamer and Luke Waters and Isaiah Jackson and Byron Alexander. And so we do like to kind of look at the guard play that Ben McCollum tends to bring out year after year. But there's a lot of guys around him that make this work.
How nice is it to see Diego Bernard get some of the accolades this year that he's gotten? You mentioned the Player of the Year award, the Defensive Player of the Year. He was the most outstanding player in the MIAA tournament this past weekend. A guy that is very selfless out there, works hard on defense, and it's nice to see that the recognition he's getting this year.
You know, you think about these guys that come in there and just – we always like to say they just want to win. They don't really care about the individual side. But Diego's been one that top to bottom, you know, he doesn't care if he goes out there and scores 2 points. But if he's locking down the guy that he's guarding and Northwest comes away with the win, I think he's feeling pretty good about that. And so to see him have that chance to get these accolades is pretty special, because it's a guy that's really given so much to Northwest Missouri State. This is year five for him. He could have moved on. You know, at points he probably could have stepped away and transferred to a mid-major Division I school and got playing time there, but he stuck with it. The loyalty factor is so huge. And now, kind of as you mentioned there before, of, you know, he's kind of helping bring along Bennett Sturtz while also kind of guiding this program. And, you know, there are nights that maybe the scoring's not necessarily there, and he is fine with passing that on to Bennett or Wes or Luke or whoever wants to step up and take that.
And boy, his teammates have to be on their toes throughout when they come down on offense, because if there's an opening, Diego's going to find them and get the ball to them.
You know, I mean, he'll be going full bore, driving down the lane and find a guy in the corner and a no-look pass. But then a couple times too this week, you know, we would see a 40-foot bounce pass ahead to running Bennett Sturtz for a breakaway layup. So he just finds a way to kind of thread that needle. We joke about it a little bit. He was a quarterback at Lafayette in St. Joseph playing, you know, football and basketball. And so he still kind of has that ability to fit that ball into tight windows.
As far as the men's basketball team, again, moving into the Central Region, as we mentioned, getting a chance to host this upcoming weekend. Well, the Northwest women's basketball team came to a close, but they had a couple games down in Kansas City at the MIAA tournament. And really seeing this team make some strides year after year under Coach Austin Meyer.
Yeah, back-to-back years of finishing 500 or better for the first time in 15 years. So, you know, it's another big step for this team. And they've had a lot of injuries throughout. You know, Peyton Rao didn't have a chance to actually step foot on the floor after having another surgery. We saw Lainey Joseph have her season get clipped before it actually got rolling too. Evelyn Vasquez battled some ankle injuries. Emma Atwood with some knee problems throughout. Lauren Iman was missed for the last probably month of the season. So there are some key contributors there that kind of kept getting taken out of the lineup. But despite all that, this team kept battling forward, able to string together 15 wins, get themselves into the MIAA tournament, push into the quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament for the third time in 4 years. So, you know, it's not quite where they want to be, but you can kind of tell this is a group that's coming together. They're playing good defense, and they know that if they can just put together a little bit more consistent scoring, they'll be awfully dangerous in the conference next year.
Yeah, I think a lot of good things are ahead for that particular program. Then softball off to a good start now, too.
Another 3-1 weekend for Northwest softball. They could keep finding ways to string together wins. The team that's now 12-6 on the season. So, you know, they went down to Joplin to play in the MIAA GLVC crossover. And you know, it's kind of that time of year to where, hey, take care of the wins that we should have. You know, knock off the teams that we expect to. And they were able to do that. Now they kind of shift their attention to conference play. Fort Hays State, Nebraska, Kearney going on the road for a couple doubleheaders on Friday and Saturday. So won't be easy going on the road for these matchups. It'll be a good litmus test here early in the MIAA season. But, boy, this is a team that is hitting the ball awfully hard. We've got Olivia Doherty back on the show again today with Coach Taez, as well as a pitcher from the squad, Hayden Simmons, who's been lights out for him too. So kind of getting a talk both the pitching and the hitting side of it, but they really have been raking so far.
Baseball picked up the final game of a 3-game series with Missouri Southern over the weekend. Tennis is in action throughout this week down in Oklahoma right now. Had a couple of nice wins yesterday against Southeastern Oklahoma State. And soccer, having a little bit of a fun trip out to Hawaii right now.
Yeah, kind of a cool trip that they were able to put together. So they're out there, of course, not in season, but playing a little exhibition out there, and they took on Division I Hawaii, the Rainbow Warriors, last night for us. I think it was more of an afternoon game for them out in Hawaii, but they lost 1-0. It was a goal in the second half, but they really played well out there. We've got assistant athletic director for marketing, Ryan Milkey, out with the team, and he's really impressed with how they're going against a Division I foe out there. So, you know, Coach Gordon doing so many things well, and all the hard work that this team has put into this point. You look at how they've really made some strides these last 3 years. This is a well-deserved trip for that program.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we've got a lot coming up on the show here this afternoon at the Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll talk more on softball. That's coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
We're back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show talking Northwest Missouri State softball as the Bearcat softball team off to a 12-6 start, a 3-1 weekend. We are joined by head coach Naomi Tellez as well as pitcher Hayden Simmons. We've got Olivia Doherty, an infielder and designated player. Can everybody hear me so far?
Yep.
Is everybody good? You know, the headsets always get turned down, so I got to make sure as we get going that everything's up to snuff. A 3-1 weekend, Coach.
Yeah.
Another one where you go out there, you take care of business. It kind of feels like we're in the non-conference portion of the season two, going through that MIAA GLVC challenge.
Yep.
You look at the records and you look at the preseason polls, which what stock can you put into that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take care of the wins that we should have. Knock off the teams that we should, and then, of course, the rest come later. But that's part of building up the program of, all right, we're going to get these wins and just kind of keep on plugging forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this weekend was, again, you know, a challenge in certain places. You know, playing Rockhurst after, you know, we just played them was a good challenge for us. And then, obviously, Missouri S&T that following day. It was nice to see, you know, our pitchers step up. And, you know, we didn't have an offensive explosion this weekend, which is normal, you know, and that's going to happen. But to see our pitchers step up in a way that they haven't before was nice to see, and scoring and producing in different ways.
As we head into the MIAA portion of the season coming up, we have a few more non-conference games still to go, but there are different benchmarks as you go throughout a season of the non-conference MIAA, certain matchups. Are you progressing about where you'd like to see? Is this kind of, all right, if we get to this point, we would like to be here?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, we want to go out and get some wins, but as a team, I think, you know, we're winning in different ways, which is really awesome. You know, we're bonding as a team. We're figuring ourselves out. And then, obviously, opening up conference is going to be, you know, huge for us this week. And, you know, weather pending is whether we're going to have it or not. Who knows?
Olivia, as we look at it, and I guess through a lot of the early wins, we're kind of, all right, this team is slugging all lights out, a lot of big hits, they can drive in runs, to see it kind of flip a little bit, and the runs are still there. You still came out and batted, what, 417 this weekend. That's okay. but then the pitching stepping up at the same time and kind of carrying that load. Has Northwest have an identity on the softball side, or are there just a lot of different ways they can kind of either nickel and dime you or come out and hit some bombs?
I think right now our goal for at least the hitting side, because that's kind of what I can talk to you right now, is just being consistent and working on having good at-bats and knowing that the people behind me or above me are also going to make big hits and help us win and get us on the board.
Is there also kind of a nice reliance on the other side, too, seeing some of the numbers that Hayden, either pitchers, are putting up in a weekend like that?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun in the dugout. It's fun when our pitchers are doing good, when people make crazy plays, and so that keeps at least the dugout going, too.
Are you hollering, positive to the pitcher, or are you saying negative things to the hitter?
More positive. We try. I don't think I'll admit if I'm saying anything negative, but just be loud and in people's
just
heads.
Just very passive aggressive.
Yeah. I'll say yes to that.
Hayden, from your perspective, the progression of the pitching staff as a whole, of course, it's not easy necessarily in Maryville, the weather, your start out indoors up in Minnesota, but getting to this point through this weekend in Joplin, how do you feel like this group's gone these last few weeks?
You know, I think it's really important that we are very encouraging for each other in general, just like, you know, if we have a bad day, you know, it's okay, like, you're going to have something's got to give. So, like, when our pitching's on, it's really nice because our hitting will be on. Or, like, if our hitting isn't good but our pitching is good, it's okay. It's really just kind of that bond all together. So we need to really be encouraging and, you know, keep each other's emotions up so we don't get down if something does go wrong.
Finding a way to play that complimentary softball as
right.
we go throughout the year. For you, a 1.5 ERA, I think you're top 5-6 in the MIAA to this point. What's been working for you as we've gone through the early portion?
You know, really kind of just listening to my teammates, because I have an injury right now, which is okay. But, you know, kind of my mindset is, okay, I need to get through these innings that I'm supposed to be getting through. I need to get these out so that I give another person a chance once I'm done, you know, so they can keep going through and going through. So that's just leaning on my teammates is really what's helping.
Coach, when you hear that and you've got a player battling through and still putting up good numbers, another solid weekend. Your perspective as someone, especially has that background as a catcher and working with pitchers.
I mean, she's a gutsy kid. Like, she'll go out there and she'll give us everything she has for the innings that she has it, and we can't ask for anything more. And I think, you know, to her credit, she will go out there and I will tell her, hey, you need to give us three innings, and she'll give us everything she has for those three innings. And when I mean, she is a competitor, we put her in to close the S&T game out, and she threw lights out. Like, there was no way a ball was getting touched. And I don't even know where the pitches were, but I just know they were blowing past people. And I was like, and it's so fun to see that, because our energy in that dugout, I mean, she went out there and she just honed it in.
So for someone that hit a lot of bombs in college, but also was on the catching end of things too, what's firing you more up, seeing the zeros go up and the strikeouts, or Olivia hitting grand slams?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, here's the thing. It was really nice to see that we didn't get one big hit. Like, one big hit did not blow us open this weekend. And so, like I said, we had to scratch offensively. And then for our pitchers to go out there and put up zeros is huge confidence for our hitters to be like, okay, we're allowed to have a down weekend. It's going to be okay.
So to this point in the season, we see a lot of teams that will say, all right, we've got one or two horses. Go eat all the innings.
Mm-hmm.
You've been pretty balanced as far with about four pitchers. How much of that is going into a weekend saying, all right, we're going to split this up. You're going to take this, this, and this, and we'll kind of see if we have to adjust or the philosophy behind that.
I think the biggest thing is getting through four games in a weekend. Like, that's hard, especially in our conference. So, I mean, we probably have a game plan going into who's starting, but usually it's a mid-game decision of who's coming in relief and the timing of it all. You know, we have a lot of arms that we can rely on, which is nice, but really understanding how this is going to work out throughout the weekend, not just in that moment.
The trust factor too, Hayden, of going in saying, all right, I'm starting this one and I'm going as long as coach lets me go. I mean, is, and then on the flip side too of, oh, fourth inning, all right, I'll take it the rest of the way. I mean, how much of that figure in too of, you know, you're a junior, you've been around it a little bit, but relying on the expertise of coach?
You know, I think she really knows when it's time to make the switch, or she kind of has an idea of how long she thinks it can go. It's really nice to be able to count on her to know whenever it is time to make the switch, or whenever I am hurting, to say, okay, it's time to be done, or okay, you need to give me this many innings and you just give it all you got. But yeah.
We're talking Northwest softball with Hayden Simmons, Olivia Doherty, as well as head coach Naomi Tellez. We talked about the pitching side. Olivia, a couple more home runs this weekend. You've already matched, what, eight this year. You had that in 49 games last season. We're just 17 games in. What's working for you? Are you seeing the ball different, or is it just kind of getting a little bit older, knowing what to expect?
I think a lot of it is just knowing that it was my last season and playing with less stress and just, I mean, I mentioned this previously, like just going up and swinging hard and good things happen and just really having fun with it. And I know tournament play is different because these games at the end of the day don't matter. So now rolling into conference, I think that does add pressure, but still going up, playing loose, really just having fun and getting through the weekend.
What are your expectations as we get set for a matchup with Fort Hays coming up on Friday?
I think, truthfully, our mindset is going into every game like we have been. We've been putting runs on the board early, which is great for us. And I think our mindset has changed from last year to this season. Is I know that we can battle back, and when we do get down, you know, I always say like one hit could be four runs. So I think just really changing our mindset overall this season has really helped. And so going into conference, I think just really staying true to how we've been playing and play to how we know how to play and not, you know, drop down to teams or play tight. So.
Well, as we look at it, and again, preseason rankings mean nothing. Hays picked 11th in the league. Mm-hmm. UNK's 8th. These are teams that, you know, the way the Bearcats are rolling right now, you feel pretty good heading into them, but they are on the road. Coach, how do you approach the conference opener as opposed to, say, last week against a non-con?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us, like Olivia said, we just have to keep rolling. Like, yes, it's conference. Yes, it matters. But that doesn't change our approach. And when I tell you this group plays its best when it is very loose and we don't take ourselves too seriously, like, I truly mean that. Even, you know, like Olivia said, our mindset is completely different. We have confidence in fighting back. At no point in time do we ever feel like we're out of a game. And just having that rolling into the weekend, yes, it's on the road. Yes, it's conference. But, again, we can't put more pressure on ourselves now. You know, keep playing like we have been.
What's the weather forecast this weekend?
Oh, I have no idea. I think Kearney's supposed to get snow on Thursday. And Hayes looks pretty, but Kearney does look pretty. So
that'll be nice. If it's a little bit colder, Hayden, how much does that affect – gripping the ball and making sure that it's going where it's supposed to?
It does affect it, but, you know, I just got to power through it and just give everything I got until I can't. So,
as long as it's around the plate, right. Not yeah. In their ribs, that's the main thing, right?
Maybe. Whoops.
Are you calling pitches inside on purpose?
No. And we were just talking about this, though. Like, she hit somebody the other day, and I was like, oh, man. When she hits them, it hurts, and they ain't coming back that game.
But you want to strike a little fear, right? I'm
absolutely.
Trying to be like unsportsmanlike.
No, exactly. I mean, no intention is behind it, but as hard as she's been throwing it.
You might as well send a message if it's going to happen, right?
Yes, don't hit them with a changeup. Yeah. Correct.
Northwest softball on the road this week in Fort Hays and UNK. Friday, Saturday, 1 o'clock start for both of those doubleheaders. Coach Olivia Hayden, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State softball with us. We'll take a break. Back with more here on the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday and news updates throughout the day at MarylandVilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Time now to talk baseball. As the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, is joining us along with outfielder Ryan Koski. And first of all, Coach, this time last week we were kind of talking about the weather situation. It might be a little rough to get some games in, but it turned out you had some pretty good weather this past weekend.
Yeah, it really turned out nice. You know, our took the rain and snow out of the forecast, and we that's what we've just been talking about is we don't get too concerned about the weather until about Wednesday. So we'll talk with Pitt State this weekend again about this upcoming series. But made the right decision last weekend and had three beautiful days to play, and ended up getting a big win in our Sunday game.
Imagine it was just nice to be able to play at home for a change.
yeah, for a change, it's been a tough road trip for us. You know, I think we had played maybe 14 games on the road before that. So being able to come home and, you know, those that last at bat is always huge, just mentally. But playing at Bearcat Field and having our fans in the stands was awfully nice to have.
You know, one thing, too, we talked last week about the bats and hoping to get those to come around. Well, they came around a little bit this weekend for you.
Yeah, I thought we swung the bats real well all weekend. You know, Missouri Southern has a very solid pitching staff, and we were able to get that rolling a little bit and put up a lot of runs. So that's definitely going to help us on down the road and, you know, continue to get good pitching and get good bullpen guys coming out and throwing strikes. So, you know, I think especially confidence-wise with our hitters, I think it was a big weekend.
Well, in that last game, a 6-4 win for Northwest over Missouri Southern, and Ryan Koski's here with us. He had a couple big clutch hits for you.
Yeah, you know, Ryan hits in the middle of our order. You know, he's kind of the guy that makes us go, and he's also our energy guy in the dugout. You know, he's always always positive, always picking guys up, and end up had a 4-2 lead, gave that up rather quickly with two pitches, a single and a home run, and then Ryan came back with a big home run of his own to put us in the lead, and we were able to add an insurance run on top of that. So, you know, just a big day for us, and hopefully we can roll with that for the rest of the season.
Ryan, it really looks like you're off to a pretty good start in that particular game. You had a nice RBI double along with that solo home run, and then overall just hitting .333 on the season, 14 RBIs. Just kind of talk a little bit about the start you're off to here.
I just go out every day just trying to have fun. This is my last year playing, and me and Max Spitzmiller, my roommate, we just always talk about how fun it is just to be out there playing baseball. And, you know, we've worked too hard in practice, and we're just finally starting to see some results. I know we haven't gotten the wins yet, but we're confident in moving forward with the season.
You know, that's coach, that's a pretty good group to be rooming together there. A couple guys that just love the game of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, these two guys have been with us for quite a few years now, and you know, they know how it what it takes to be successful at this level, and they work hard in their craft to be able to be successful. So definitely in a couple months we're going to miss those two guys.
Hey, Ryan, just kind of talk a little bit too about your approach. He's talked about this being your last year coming in. You want to make sure you're going out on a success. What's been the approach this year? Is it a little bit more intense for you coming in this year, maybe past years? Or I know you approach the game of baseball pretty solid year in, year out, but what's the difference coming in as a senior leader on this team?
I mean, looking at this year from the summer, like, I just wanted to come out here and basically have no regrets, knowing it's my last year, just leave it out on the field, and whatever happens is going to happen.
And you come to Northwest from Kearney, Nebraska. I guess one thing, though, you didn't have to change as far as your nickname for your school is coming from the Kearney High School Bearcats to the Northwest Bearcats mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat.
It really is for you. Mm-hmm. A little bit different color in the color schemes of the two schools.
Right.
But overall, what drew you to Northwest to come here and play?
You know, coming here, my recruitment was a little bit different. I was always playing sports in high school. I didn't play high school baseball. I actually ran track. So it was basically just like I had two aunts that came here. One ran track and field, and the other played softball, and just decided to reach out, and I'm glad I did.
So being a track person for a while, does that help you on the bases much?
I like to think so. I was a jumper, so I wasn't a sprinter, so jumping helps a little bit in the outfield.
Yeah, I would guess so. Coach, when you look at Ryan and the skill set he brings, what are some of the main things you really like about having Ryan on this team?
Well, I think number one is work ethic. You know, he comes one of the first guys at the field, one of the last to leave. I would say the one thing about Ryan is, you know, over the course of, you know, coaching all these kids, I've had very few hitters have a better senior year than their junior year. And I think there's a lot of things that go into that of, you know, they maybe take those at-bats for granted. They're trying too hard. They're trying to you know, win a conference championship with every swing, trying to break the school record in home runs or RBIs or something like that. And I think Ryan is one of those guys that his senior year hasn't affected him like that, because, you know, as he attested to, he's just he comes to the ballpark to have fun. He's not carrying that weight of his senior year with him, and you know, he's out having fun and helping pull his teammates along with him.
And Ryan, really looks like you're a guy that has come up with some pretty big hits through your career too. What do you attest to just being a clutch type of hitter that you are?
I mean, it just starts every day in practice. We're always doing situations, like practicing the situations, kind of training your mind. What are you going to do? What are you going to look for in the situations? So, and in practices, there'll be tough situations. So when you get to the game, it mentally you're prepared, and hopefully it becomes easier because practices can be tough.
Yeah, I would guess too, just from what you've had to say and what Coach Lowe said too, that just trying to help your teammates is something that's very big for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been a big believer, never wear the emotions on your sleeves, you know, just if you're having a good day or having a bad day, just trying to keep it even keel and just keeping the right mind to help you and the teammates succeed.
Well, let's look ahead toward this weekend. Pittsburgh State, the opponent's coming up, and hopefully everything will play out where you can be at home again this weekend. But just talk about Pitt State and what they'll bring to the table this weekend.
You know, just both Missouri Southern and Pitt State, I think they're both very offensive teams. And, you know, they hit with power. They swing with bat speed. Up and down their lineup, they're going to be have some power hitters. So they play very well in their ballpark. Wind blows out quite a bit in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we want this schedule to stay the same and get them back to Maryville. But, you know, they're going to be big, physical. I know their Friday arm is very good. I'm sure all their pitching is going to be good. They're very well coached. So, you know, they're one of the top four schools in the conference. And, you know, it'll be a challenge, but a challenge that we're ready to face.
And, Ryan, what's your approach coming into this weekend?
Basically just leave it all out there. We know historically they're good, but we're confident in our abilities. We believe we're trending up, especially with this Sunday win that we just got. And just basically believing in our abilities and going out there and just putting it on display.
And by trending up, you look at the seasons, there's still a whole lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that non-conference season. And, you know, we talked about opening up with, you know, two or three of the top teams in the conference historically. But just, I think our biggest goal going into this past weekend was just playing better baseball. And I think we did that. And, both on the mound, you know, at the plate. Got to clean up a few defensive issues, but I think the guys are starting to get more comfortable, more confident, and that's going to help us down the road.
Yeah, you talked about the wind traditionally going out down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Of course, Maryville's notorious for wind. Bearcat Field, what's the trends with the wind out there?
Well, it's blowing out, and we saw this exact thing this weekend. Early on, we get that northwest wind that blows straight out to center, and then Sunday it warmed up a little bit, and the wind turned around and it blew from the southeast, which was straight in. So we had two different, completely different winds, and you know, both teams hit some home runs with the wind blowing out, but you know, I think we're a little bit more of a small ball team, and you know, so that's, you know, kind of helped us on Sunday, I think.
All right. Well, Coach and Ryan, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
You bet. That is the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe, along with outfielder Ryan Koski. We'll be back, and we've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plants and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're talking now track and field with head coach Brandon Masters and also a member of the Distance Medley Relay Team and Jake Norris, who are heading out east to the Indoor National Track and Field Championships in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And coach, record-setting group you're taking out there, 21 total athletes, an opportunity to participate in the national meet. That has to really make you feel good about it.
It is. The kids showed up and did the work and rewarded with a trip to Virginia Beach is not a bad spring break, right? So we're excited to get out there. 21 is a huge number for us, about split almost even male and female. So a lot of talent, a lot of relays, and we're excited to get out there.
When the season opened up, did you imagine that you would be able to take this many athletes to the national meet?
Well, our hope was, it's try to build this program around the relays, distance medley relay and the 4x4 relay, and then their individual events with it. Within that and field event as well. So that's how you take a lot of people. That's how you score a lot of points. And that is our goal, is to be very good at the national level. And 21 is a big number, though. So didn't expect all four of the relays to make it. We had a battle in a couple of them and depth in a couple of them, issues there. But kids did great, and here we go.
Got that budgeted in to make the travel arrangements to go out there?
Well, it's funny. You have to order the rooms pretty early and reserve everything. And I did we just snuck into the – didn't have to change it at all. So apparently the crystal ball is working on my desk. So.
Then you got Jake Norris here. Jake, as a senior, getting an opportunity to go out on a high note here, competing in the distance medley relay. And Jake, how much fun is it to be able to wrap up your indoor career with a meet such as this?
It's awesome. I mean, it's just a blessing getting to go, getting this opportunity. When you look down the road, you want nothing more than just be there with your teammates, and I think it's going to be really exciting. The big group that we get to go with.
I would think, too, not only about the individual results, you obviously want to be there, but to be part of a medley relay like this where you've got some other guys with you, that really makes it something special, too, where you can celebrate with some other people on an event.
Yeah, I mean, I love the relays. I love the DMR. You're so close with the guys you're running with, and when you get that baton in your hand and you're just thinking of them and what you are all capable of together, I think that's the most exciting part about it.
Yeah, the distance medley relay is such an exciting event, too, because it covers everything. 1,200 to lead off to the 400, and into 800, into the 16. So we're it's a really fun group, but it's a really fun race to watch because you go from slow to fast to fast. I mean, it's really entertaining, and we're just glad to be part of it.
And I would imagine, too, it takes some special athletes to really do well in an event such as this.
Yeah, you know what? You have to have a dynamic with your team, kind of a diversity in your program as far as being able to handle, the 1200 and the 1600 and then the 4A group. It takes a lot of different types of kids to make a DMR run fast, and fortunately that kind of right up our alley. That's how I've built this team, is to be pretty good in that mid-distance 400 up, and then Coach Wick's doing a great job with the distance kids.
And just talk a little bit about Jake and what he's meant to your program.
Well, Jake, he came in when I did, right? So he's Grandpa Jake here. he's been around a minute, but Jake is a leader for us. He is always there. You can count on him. He's going to dig deep and give you everything he has that day. And that was from the very beginning when he came in, and had a bit of an issue in cross early, injury and a few things as a freshman. But went to conference meet and performed at a high level. Like, this kid's got what it takes to be really good. And more than that, someone that we can count on. He's going to give you everything he has at every meet.
And you look at this relay team going in, seventh in the nation time-wise coming in, so you have to feel pretty good about the mark that they put in here.
Yeah, it's a great time. We you know, we had a great opportunity 2 years ago and missed out last year. So I know the kids, the guys were really ready to rip and try to get one fast enough to make it in. We made it in top seven in the country. Now we got to go duplicate, right? I mean, so there's a lot of great teams, but there's teams that will run completely fresh. And there's teams that will be coming off of different, you know, prelim races that day, depending on what they're in the meet for. So we like our chances. We just need to get the stick to Reese and in contact with that top group and let Reese go do his thing. And so that's a big job. You know, the 1200, you got to get the stick around with everybody, and we're asking a freshman in Riley Witt to do that for us. And then you know, Federico is going to do the four, and he's good at navigating traffic, which that handoff is always a mess. So you know, Jake here in the eight, and so the goal is to get Reese Baton in contact and let him do the job, because he's a stud on anchor horse.
That's fun to watch, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And Jake, from your standpoint, what do you see as things that this relay team needs to do to really compete this upcoming weekend?
I think just staying engaged with the competitors. I think one benefit we have is that everybody on the relay, you can see that they're going to give everything they have. They're smart racers, know what we need to do on each of our legs, and I think that will really help us out. Riley's really strong to start us off. 400, like we said, is very smart, getting that to Reese in a great spot. And then I think if we can get Reese close to the front, I think I'm not going to question what he can do. So
he likes to win, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's always good to have somebody like that around, isn't
Absolutely.
It? And I would imagine that everyone on that medley relay team is kind of in the same type of mindset that you have there.
Yeah, you know, we got a couple of veterans with Federico and Jake and Reese, so you can put him in that veteran status. You know, Riley is not a typical freshman. He has that mindset, the will to win, and so this is a very scary group. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Let's just talk about some of the other events you've got coming up this weekend. Again, we talked about with 21 total athletes going out there, 10 on the women's side, 11 on the men's side. You've got a women's team going in ranked nationally 10th, and the men 18th nationally. So you're going to have some folks that should have some excellent shots at some good numbers out there.
Yeah, you know, whenever you have the relays, you know, on both sides, we know we can score some points. The women's 4x4 is very, very exciting. We're very talented. We're ranked third in the country, but you know, the top crew, you know, they ran 338 in NCAA best ever. So I mean, that's hard to go in and beat those guys, but we really haven't run an A team yet, so that's also very exciting. The squad is going to be ready to go, and so I'm really looking forward to the 4x4 on both sides. You know, 400s and 800 on the women's side, both with a lot of ladies trying to make a final. You know, the men's 400, very exciting. Truman, a freshman, and ranked third, and Prince is in that as well. You know, so that's exciting. Joel in the 200. I didn't think we'd be talking about Joel making the national meet, but he snuck in that 200, and then Blake finally got it done in the high jump. He took long enough, waited till conference championship before he got in, but he finally punched his ticket. So, you know, across the board, you look at everything we have, and it's very exciting. We're going to be there and racing throughout both days, and so that's fun, because you get a I love track and field. I love to watch this level, but when you have people in events, every other event on the track, we might have somebody in it. It's a really kind of fun thing. A lot more fun than when you take one or two athletes and have a day of watching and only a little bit of coaching, you know. So this is a lot more fun.
And I would think, too, just from the standpoint of building off of this year with the other athletes that maybe just missed the mark a little bit, it kind of gives them some incentive for the next year as well.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people wanted to make this trip. You know, it's D2 is unbelievably competitive, and this list is unreal. Things that got in, you know, even a couple of years ago, wouldn't even had a chance this year. And so it's really exciting time in track and field and you know, D2 level, but you know, the kids that did miss the bus you know, just by a little bit, will be motivated, and fortunately, some of those people will be right back at it for outdoors, which we start in 2 weeks from now, which is crazy. But we have a meet coming up outdoors, so we'll be flipping gears real fast.
Not a lot of downtime for the track and field athletes,
no,
that's for
all year long. We can talk about you know, the distance squad too. It's you know, three sports, really, cross, indoor, and outdoor. So they go year-round.
All right. Well, sounds great to have you both here on the show. Jake Norris, again, congratulations on the career you've had at Northwest, and good luck this upcoming weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, we're talking with Jake along with Brandon Masters here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're back and have more right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers has been supporting farmers in Northwest Missouri since 1928 by providing grain merchandising, tire, and agronomy services. More information is at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State Bearcat women's basketball head coach Austin Meyer. Coach Meyer, wrapping up your fifth season, leading the program 15-15, quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament. Of course, we can, you know, sit here and say, boy, that one just didn't end up the way you wanted. Still a good run, but you know, a lot of adversity throughout the season. You battle a lot of injuries, and it feels like this program did take another step toward where you're trying to get to go.
Yeah, I think we took a step. Maybe not the step that I anticipated, or I thought we could take a bigger one this year. But, yeah, we're still going the right direction, still a really young team. Got really good kids, work hard, great teammates, great attitudes. Ran into a really good team the other night, Nebraska Kearney. And, you know, we talked about our up and downs offensively all year, and we really struggled to score in that game. And they had a lot to do with it. They're, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the country.
When you look at Nebraska Kearney and we look at where Northwest is now, the Bearcats playing good defense now, and that's a team that's long. They play good defense. They've got a couple players that can kind of spread it around and score a little bit. Is that the direction Northwest is heading, just maybe a couple steps further along right now?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, they're it's taken them, you know, they've had a good, you know, 3-year run, but it took a while to get that program to where it is now since they took over. And you know, I think we're going the right direction. You know, we gotta score it better. We gotta get a little bit more athletic. You know, so I think our message to the team in our end of the season meetings is just gonna be, you know, how much better can we get individually over the summer? Where if we come back and everybody's that much better, you know, we get some kids back from injury. You know, Laney Joseph was out all year. Lauren Gillig was out for 2 months in the season and never really got back in a rotation, and she was the one that started for us early. You know, we're in the transfer portal environment right now, so, you know, I'm looking at that thing every 15 minutes, and we're reaching out to kids because my job is to make sure we improve the program, and if that's, you know, we typically are, you know, we love our 4- and 5-year high school kids because I think that's good for your culture. But we're at a point right now where if we can get an impact kid in the portal that fits, you know, we're definitely going to do that.
There's kind of a science that goes with that, right? You want someone that can come in and play basketball, that's someone that's also going to fit right in. How much of that is talking on the phone, bringing in for visits, talking to other coaches?
Yeah, we got some kids coming in already this weekend. But, yeah, the portal, it's interesting. Ever since the portal has happened, it's kind of it's made it easier for everybody to get transfers just because all you got to do is get on your computer. You know, before you had to reach out to people. You had to use your connections. Well, now it's just, yeah, you get on there and you hit a button and everybody's name pops up. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm going through every one of them right now, trying to hire a coaching staff too. This has been another challenge. But, you know, you go through every one of them and you do your research and where'd they play last year? How good was that team last year? How many minutes did they play? Why are they leaving? You know, a lot of the D2, the good D2 kids they're wanting to transfer Division I. So if you know, there's been a couple of D2 transfers in there that, you know, average 20 a game. Well, those kids are looking to move up to the next level. So, but you want to make sure you turn over every rock and do your research. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
And it's not an easy thing either. You know, they're on a ton of Kendi Eaton, Erica Schlosser, or Joey Wittes is out there just kind of waiting to be picked up. It's a lot of due diligence that goes through with it, right?
Yeah, definitely, because you do want to get the right fit. And a lot of the kids that are in the portal, and I think there was a stat last year that 70% of them didn't eventually find a place. So you get a lot of kids that that are leaving trying to look for something better, that maybe it's not there. Grass isn't always greener, but kids want to play too, and you know, coaches are honest with kids and where they see them, and it's so we'll be very open about it too. You know, we love our kids, we have a great culture, but we always say it's not prison. So if kids want to leave, we'll definitely help them find another spot. But I don't anticipate us having that, but we know we do have to get better as a program.
Another big cog, as you mentioned there, too, finding an assistant coach. At the conclusion of that game on Thursday, Macy bringing up, hey, it was an interim role. College coaching, probably not for me. There's going to be someone new stepping in. How's that process work through of kind of trying to, we talk about the right fit on the court, but also someone that's going to mesh with you and your philosophies?
Yeah, it's a very important position for us. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and we're thankful that with the timing of Coach Houston leaving, that Macy was able to fill in there. Did a great job, just thrown in the fire. You know, had no idea what she was doing. Didn't have a lot of direction from me, but she was really good with our kids. You know, just talking to our kids, how's your day going, having them in the office, player development, just the energy she brought to practice and all that. So she did a great job for us, but yeah, there's a lot more into the position, and so we're looking for, we have some good candidates that we're looking through, and wanting to get somebody with experience in recruiting, connections, player development, and that obviously fits our culture. But it's one of the biggest decisions for me that I've had to make in a long time.
Obviously, without an assistant coach yet and everything you're going through right now, you're awfully busy. When is Austin Meyer going to break?
Well, me and my wife are supposed to go to Cabo in April, so we'll see.
We
got that on the back burner right now, but so hopefully we can get this stuff done here. And but yeah, usually there's kind of you go in that depression when the season's over. Unless you're Mac and you win your last game every year, then there's not as much. You know, he hasn't
had that depression of no more games.
Then. Yeah, he hasn't had that depression in a while, which is pretty crazy. But then you kind of do like the time off. It just, this is going to be one of those years where there's probably not going to be much time off, but that's okay. Still get enough time with family and just try to make the most of it.
Well, Coach Meyer, appreciate your time, and looking forward to seeing this Northwest basketball program continue to progress and see what happens next.
Thank you. Appreciate all you guys do. Appreciate all the fans and the support.
That's Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer with us. We'll take a timeout. Back with more on KXCV, KLRNW.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Support for KXCV KLRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Ziegler Ag Equipment in Maryville, Marshall, and Chillicothe. With the full AgCo lineup, including Fendt, Massey Ferguson, Rogator, Terragator, Sunflower, and more, information on new and used ag equipment is online at ZieglerAg.com.
Support comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers a variety of tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design center is open Monday through Saturday and is online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for KXCV, KLRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Back on KXCV KRNW, Bearcat Coaches Show live from Pizza Ranch. We're talking Northwest Missouri State Golf and kind of everything under the sun here with Athletic Director Andy Peterson. Andy, appreciate coming on and talking with us. And, man, doesn't look like it outside, but golf season's underway. We're rolling here in round two from Oklahoma City so far today. Team tied for 11 through round one. What are your kind of thoughts as we're getting things underway here?
Yeah, we were in the last
flight of tee times this morning off of number 10. Looks like Paige is having a great day. She's one under after 9 holes, after 10 holes. Kylie Carey's 4 over after 11. Lauren Woods 5 over after 12. Kayla Moline just birdied. She's 7 under after 12. And then Ellie Spies, someone in her group didn't charge their phone last night because they're not her scores aren't updating live stats. So, yeah, we're playing well. We're tied for 10th right now. Obviously, being the last flight off, some of those other teams obviously are ahead of you, so you kind of got to watch the scores and how that fluctuates stuff. So, yeah, looks like we're playing well, playing better than yesterday at this point, I would say. And so hopefully, you know, we can just continue to maintain and get in with, you know, three ten, low three teens would be a good improvement from day one to day two.
Down at the Diffie Ford Lincoln Invite in Oklahoma City. Paige tied for 16th as she entered the day. You mentioned she's playing pretty well. What is it about that? It seemed like last year she was always really good on day one, but boy, she flips a switch on day two.
Yeah, and I think part of it is her, you know, she was she's a Division I transfer. She played at the University of South Dakota, and they played a ton of golf at that level. They play typically, we play a lot of 36-hole tournaments almost exclusively. They play 54-hole tournaments, and they play 36 holes on day one, and then turn around and play 18 on day two. And so just for her, I think it's just kind of built into her a little bit about you play the course once and you just kind of understand. She's just a little more trained up on making your adjustments as you go around the course that second time. And then you go around the course the third time, you obviously that's a little bit better. But that round one to round two, those adjustments, I think she's just trained a little bit more. And we've talked about that a couple of times with them about, you know, just, you know, picking her brain on the van ride home about, you know, what differences do you make from day one to day two and that sort of thing. So there's a little bit of experience there, obviously, of being in those tournaments and just a different way of playing. Not that she's played in more tournaments, but just that I think that format kind of leads to that a little bit. And that's, you know, that's something else we talked about, just mentally day one you're seeing that course pretty much for the first time from the areas that you're seeing it from, right? We play a practice round usually the day before, but you're not in those spots that you are competitively on a Monday. And so giving yourself a little bit of grace there of, you know, hey, you're making these adjustments and, you know, yardage is where to be, you know, you don't want to be in that low spot or you want to be off of that bank or whatever. And really thinking about those consciously on day two and making adjustments to try to put yourself in better spots. And so that's just a maturity thing that obviously I think most girls do that as they age and understand as they go through college golf, of making those adjustments from day one to day two and not just going out there and
swinging it like
you would, yes. But
when to be aggressive, when to pull back a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Just the course management's one thing, but a lot of it is honestly just your mentality on, you know, hey, I truly do understand this course now, and we can be aggressive or we don't need to be aggressive in this scenario. So making those changes and adjustments is probably pretty key.
If you're playing 36 on day one, 18 on day two, that'd be exhausting. 18 and 18 and tiring enough.
Yeah.
And we don't really talk about it with golf very much. But there's a conditioning factor.
Yeah,
of being able to go out there and play 36 holes in 2 days without being wore down by, you know, 35, 36 and be able to finish strong.
Yeah, and you're battling wind and you're battling, you know, hills. There's a lot of courses we play that are nasty to walk. And you know, the girls walk everywhere. Now, most of them have push carts, so they're not carrying their bags. Some of them do. Lauren Wood carries her bag all the time. But, you know, most of them are pushing carts and stuff. And you're battling the physical part of it. You're battling the mental part of it. And then the emotional piece, too, of the highs of, you know, Ellie Spies hitting a hole-in-one, even though, you know, her round wasn't that good when she hit that hole-in-one. So there's the emotional highs and lows. And I talk about that a lot. You know, if you're going to let your emotions get the best of you after a double or triple bogey and you're breaking down, crying, all that stuff, you better be jumping for joy and ecstatic when you birdie or eagle, because that's the only way to maintain any type of even keel. Or if you're just steady Eddie all the time, that's fine too. But emotional, physical, mental, that's all a big piece of, you know, they're on the course for 6 hours a day. That's a long time too. And you've got to eat, you got to drink water, you got to keep your energy up, and maintain focus. A lot of people can't do anything for 6 hours straight, right? Without some sort of dip in performance or lack of focus or whatever. And so, yeah, to do it 2 days in a row, when you're, you know, staying in a hotel, sleeping in a weird bed, where eating weird food, all that sort of stuff. It's just a part of college golf that is, I think it's kind of fun. I think it's cool to see who can, what young women can take that challenge on and embrace it and do their best and still have a smile on their face at the end of it, whether they play really, really well or don't play really, really well.
Fight through that, get a little homework done at the same time,
absolutely,
maintain that GPA.
That's right. That's right.
You are talking with Northwest Missouri State Athletic Director Andy Peterson here on KXCV Maryville, KLRNW Chillicothe. One thing we want to touch on real quick while we have you here, Andy, getting set for the Central Region Tournament for men's basketball coming up. Northwest has the one seed. It's been a little bit since Northwest has had this. Last time you guys got all set up, then COVID wiped us out. But yep, I'd imagine some excitement, maybe a little stress and anxiety coming around with welcoming, sure, this tournament back again.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, obviously, for the program, right? They've earned it, played extremely well, played a really difficult schedule. I'm fortunate to be on the Men's Basketball National Committee. I'm the chair of the Central Region. And, you know, it played out such that we've got a great bracket, right? We got three teams from the MIAA, three teams from the Northern Sun, two teams from the GAC, from the Great American. We don't have any conference matchups in the first round. We would need an upset or two, I think, maybe. We would need at least one upset to have a conference matchup in the second round. And then, obviously, if you've got a conference matchup in the Elite Eight, nobody's complaining about that. I mean, that's something that's going to happen in the tournament time. So we got a great bracket. We got great teams. I think we got good coaches, great programs, well-supported institutions. So that part's awesome, right? But, yeah, there's some headache. Obviously, Bearcat Arena is not very big, right? 21, not even that, 2,000 people. And it's not our game. This is not our contest. This is an NCAA contest. So a lot of the stuff that we do during the regular season, we're just not allowed to do here. And it's frustrating because it puts people in bad spots. You know, it puts people that we normally are able to handle and to take care of. We're not allowed to do that in this realm. You know, there's no complimentary tickets. We don't have a pass list for our parents, for the student athletes. There's just a lot that goes into it, and it puits a lot of people in tough situations, and in situations where they either don't feel appreciated, which is not what we want, or they're just frustrated with the process. Right? Tickets aren't on sale yet. I'm talking to you Tuesday at noon. Tickets aren't on sale yet for Saturday games. We're also, you know, no one's used to that, but we've got to protect team blocks for the other teams that are coming. It's just like most tournaments where there's two games per session, and because you have two games per session, we've got three team blocks. We've got 450 seats that we have to hold for visiting teams. Regardless of if they use them or not, we have to hold them. And so there's just a lot of frustration, and it's going to be, I know for a fact, it's going to be worse on Saturday when we get into our game at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and there's going to be a couple of hundred empty seats. And people are going to be like, what in the heck, Andy? And I say all that. I don't think it's going to be sold out, personally. Central Oklahoma last week, 2 weeks ago, was the biggest game of the year. We didn't close the doors then, and that was when school was in session. So students get in for free. We had a lot of comp tickets because of parents' pass lists, our corporate sponsorships, all that stuff. I would love for it to be sold out. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's going to. And so we're on spring break. Kids aren't here. A lot of people are traveling this time of year, doing different stuff with family, because this isn't on your calendar. You're not expecting, you know, the Bearcats maybe to be playing this weekend at home, right? But then there's this huge push of people of, you know, it's, you know, we expect to sit in our normal seats all the time, which we did this year. We're trying something new because I'm trying to get out of this hole that I put my team in, my staff in, of protecting seats for people, right, that we don't need. So we honored our season ticket holders in the chairbacks. And then we went to the railbacks, which we have a bunch of people that have season tickets in the railbacks, but those are the team blocks behind the benches. So we asked them if they would be willing to move into the chairbacks. We would honor that. So our chairbacks are full. I honestly think we have one, maybe two seats that are open. They're singles, they're in bad spots, whatever. Other than that, the chairbacks are full. So there's no reserve seating for sessions 2, 3, and 4 when the Bearcats are playing. But it's just like season ticket holders. I've asked the season ticket members to buy a package. So they bought games. They bought tickets for games session 2, session 3, session 4. Regardless of if the Bearcats win or not, they've paid for those seats. And if the Bearcats happen to lose on Saturday, they've paid for their seats on Sunday, and they paid for seats on Tuesday, right? But it just creates a lot of ill feelings towards people. And there's a, you know, I personally, there's not a bad seat in the house in there. but it just kind of creates a different level of energy that just sometimes is not great for staff members and for the general fan and for the super fan and the people that I love them to death. I love every one of our fans. I have great interactions with them. I can honestly say I don't think I've got anybody that's a season ticket holder that hates me right now or hates me normally. I probably have 4, 5, 6 people that are really disappointed in me right now, and they're really upset that we're not taking care of them as they feel like they should be taken care of and all that stuff. And I understand that. I can empathize with that because we do roll out the red carpet, I think, a lot for our fans and for our people that support our programs and that sort of thing. So that piece is unfortunate, but I will say this. For our student athletes, it's worth it. Those guys and what they have been able to do this year, and I'm talking just this year because this is the team that's earned this regional tournament to be at Bearcat Arena. These guys have earned it. And so if I have to deal with a little bit of frustration and angst and, you know, people being ticked off for a little bit, that's okay. I know that's not what that's directed at. It's truly not directed at that. It's for me, it's our student-athlete experience and what our students have earned, and the atmosphere that we're going to have in Bearcat Arena is going to be worth it. So it's going to be great. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, we had a conference call this morning, talked with all the teams, and everybody's excited. I think everybody appreciates the bracket and the way it's matched up and the path. I think everybody – this is the best part about this year. Everybody feels good about their path, right, in our region. Most brackets on the men's side, I think. They feel good about their path to having an opportunity to win a national title. And I think, you know, Northwest, Northern State, Central Missouri, Augustana, who's the other one? You know, Drury was in a different region, but in the Midwest. I think we've proven over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years that the basketball in the Midwest is pretty darn good. Basketball in the Central region is very, very good. If you can come out of this region, if you can win this tournament in Maryville this week, next Tuesday, you're probably, you know, you're probably on the upper end of teams that go to Evansville that have a chance to win it all. So that's exciting. That's going to be fun, and we can't wait for that piece.
The Northwest Missouri States, the Northern 1 year as a runner-up, UCM winning a championship. Yeah. A lot since 2014, and probably a little before that, too. If you get out, you'll have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Augustana obviously had a monster team. Yep. I think these Moorhead, you know, Moorhead went to the Elite Eight 2015, I think, the first year that, you know, we made the second year we made the Sweet 16. It's loaded, right? Southern Nazarene. People overlook Southern Nazarene. Those guys got 4 losses this year, 5 losses maybe. Pretty stinking good record. And they played some good teams, right? You know, people argue, hey, the Great American Conference is not that good. Maybe holistically. Those top 2 or 3 teams are solid teams. I mean, they will beat you if you don't play well, they will beat you. So, you know, Southern Arkansas is coming in. They're playing with house money, right? They're coming into the Hornet's Nest, playing the defending back-to-back-to-back national champions. If you think those guys are coming in and not playing loose, you're crazy. They're going to come in and play, and they're excited about being here. They've earned a chance to defeat the national champions on their home floor. I think it's going to be an awesome – Saturday's going to be awesome, for sure. You know, Sunday is going to be some – really, really good intra-conference. That's not right. What's the word I'm looking for, Matt? Out-of-conference. Some really good out-of-conference in-region matchups. I don't care how it works on Saturday. Sunday will be 2 great games, and then next Tuesday night will be one for the ages, I think.
It'll be a lot of fun. It all starts on Saturday, the first Northwest game at 6 o'clock against Southern Arkansas. Andy, thanks so much for the time, and looking forward to this weekend.
Me too. I will be remiss to say, on top of everything else that's going on, you had track and field on here a little bit ago. 21 student-athletes going to the national championships. That's absurd. Just really, really proud of that team and those groups. They compete Friday, Saturday. I tried like heck to figure out a way for me to get to Virginia Beach and back, but with it being Friday, Saturday, I just don't think there's any way I could do it. So I'm sick, personally, that I can't go out there and support those student-athletes because they have done some unbelievable stuff this year. I'm excited for Saturday and what those kids can do out in Virginia. I think we're going to surprise a few folks, I think, in where we finish nationally. Not to put pressure on those kids, but I think they've done the work. I think Coach Masters, Coach Nikki, Coach Wick have done a fantastic job with our kids. Kayla Fonkin, as the athletic trainer, has done a great job getting those kids ready to go. And for this weekend is going to be pretty cool for some national competitions for our winter sports.
They put down some unbelievable times already, and see what they do at the Nationals.
I don't think you could beat most of those kids on a bicycle, Matt.
No, I couldn't.
Just saying.
I think you're right. Give me a golf cart.
I still, you know better than that.
Golf no, I know I couldn't, but that would be less work for me.
Well, if I was true, on a but golf he's still cart. Not very fast.
No.
Nolan could beat you on a golf cart.
If he was driving it?
Yes. No. If he was running and you were driving it.
I
golf
that
carts
far.
Aren't that fast.
No. But that's less exertion than me driving a bicycle.
I don't disagree, but I'm talking about winning a race.
Well, at that point, I'm losing. I might as well just relax.
Is he a bike rider?
We got the training wheels, but he's dead
I'm
set
okay
that he's getting
that.
Them off. So
no, I think it'd be close. I'd like to see the odds on Matt in the golf cart, Nolan on bike.
I can confidently say right now I would beat him.
In a 50, I'm going to say 50 yards.
He's not very good at holding. He kind of likes to veer back and forth. So it's not a straight line.
I think if you give me a week to coach him up, I think we'd have a pretty good race.
That'd be great. He wants to get training wheels off so he can get a dirt bike. Yeah, like, we'll pump the brakes on that one.
We'll see.
We're kind of veering off course a little bit. Andy, it's great to see you again.
Great to see you guys, too. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Northwest Missouri State Director of Athletics, Andy Peterson, also the head golf coach, joining us here as we're wrapping up the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Our next Northwest Missouri State broadcast coming up on Saturday at 6 o'clock. The Bearcats taking on Southern Arkansas. That'll be in the Central Region Tournament. Men's basketball chance to pick up win number 31 on the season. Pregame starting at 5:30 on Saturday evening. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton. That's going to wrap things up for us here from Peach Ranch. Have a great day.